This week in the markets, investors cheered gold and U.S. equities. Well, welcome back to GoldSeek.com Radio, everyone. Your host, Chris Waltzek. It's just a pleasure to be back with you. Happy 4th of July holiday weekend, season 14, episode 703. Well, with Independence Day, a sign of our liberty here in the U.S., who better to have on the show than founder of the Ron Paul Institute for Peace and Prosperity, former presidential candidate and congressman Ron Paul returns. He says the Fed can't save us, but gold can. We discuss the potential for a 1970s style stagflationary environment. And here, 40 years later, after the 1980s inflation scare, inflation could again become a big problem. We agree that trade tariffs really just shifts the burden of responsibility onto the working and middle classes because we pay higher prices on store shelves and related expenses. Ron Paul suggests we remain vigilant as citizens as negative U.S. interest rates are a real potential problem if Fed policymakers continue with the rate cut strategy. This would be the first time in U.S. history. Then Arch Crawford, head of Crawford Perspectives now for over 40 years, rejoins the show with his technical outlook on the precious metals and U.S. shares. He likes precious metals and silver as long-term investment strategies, noting years of pent-up demand. Turning to our Ancient Artifacts Preservation Society apps, several unbelievable findings this week I'd like to share with you. A stunning carving is the first of a remarkable set of women dated to over 2,000 years old. It's at an official archaeological site. We've titled it Ancient Lady Liberty due to the red, white, and bluish style mask she seems to be wearing and headdress. We found several scuba-related images. We found several SOS's messages, likely from the same period, at least 2,000 years ago, and it implies a great flood, likely a recurring event. You might recall one of our favorite guests here, Dr. Douglas Vogt, many decades ago, noted there is a recurring cycle that causes biblical floods on a recurring basis. He thinks about every 12,000 years. I propose more like 24 to 100,000 years or more, but still, that's the blink of an eye. And it looks as though we could be facing something similar. These folks confirm this, we believe, right here on Earth. Then, as though that wasn't fantastic enough, we find brilliant image between two what appear to be reptilian humanoids right here on Earth who are clearly astronomers. It appears that one reached out from Earth to another civilization and found a way using a radio telescope to communicate with another civilization. There's clear evidence of this and their contact. Interesting implications. We find at least one yacht-like ancient craft and then a submarine, both likely used to help survive the epic cataclysm. And one last interesting point. The ladies that we found in these ancient carvings were found in the Middle East Caucasian, a most surprising finding because we typically don't find anything that I'm aware of in that region showing people of that cultural heritage. Maybe one of the most significant findings so far of our small venture. Robert Ian wraps up the show with his latest must-hear report. Remember to call into our Q&A hotline, 641-715-3900, followed by extension number 514049. We'd like to field your questions and comments. Remember that mailbox number, 514049. GoldSeek.com Radio begins now with a market weather recap. Visibility virtually unlimited over the precious metal sector for the seventh week in a row as investors continue to pour their funds into the sector on even more inflationary news from the Fed. At Friday's closing bell on the yellow metal, prices remained lofty, up about $7 on the week, about 0.5% at $14.21 an ounce. Silver was near break-even, around $15.34, while the XAU shares were also around break-even at $84. Black gold was off just a dollar, finishing at $57.34, well above that $42 low. Palladium added $28, up 2.5% at $15.65. Then platinum added $1.50, finishing at $8.32 an ounce. Well, the precious metal is up 11% or so this year, the highest point in 6 years, holding firm on Wednesday on news that President Donald Trump said he would nominate two dovish candidates to the Federal Reserve's Board of Governors, adding weight to the idea of further rate cuts, which of course is inflationary and bullish for precious metals. Plus, we heard news of a nomination of the International Monetary Fund's managing director, Christine Lagarde, to head the European Central Bank. The FOMC is slated to slash rates starting this month on the 31st and again in December. Meanwhile, the precious metals received another boost on Monday after President Donald Trump and Chinese leader Xi Jinping reached agreement over the weekend at the G20 gathering in Japan, Osaka. Investors viewed this as a positive for business and, of course, inflationary. In related news, the sharp rally in precious metals shares has investors pouring even more funds into gold ETFs, the best inflows in 3 years, according to one media source. Concerns include the U.S.-Mexico trade relations with possible tariffs there on all Mexican imports. However, the president then reached an agreement with the Mexican president to hold off on tariffs indefinitely. Bottom line on precious metals. Well, top money managers and institutions continue to pound the table over the value of gold. Mark Mobius, a well-known investor, says gold is set to top $1,500 an ounce as rates head lower and central banks continue to purchase it. He says he loves gold. He spent decades at the well-known Franklin Templeton Investments. He added that the bullion should always remain a part of every portfolio with a holding of at least 10%, echoing our sentiments. He also points out that interest rates are headed lower, as we've been saying for over a year now, especially in Europe. Why would it make any sense to hold the euro when you might end up with a negative rate? You could then buy gold, which is likely to move higher, much better currency. Plus, a favorite billionaire trader, Paul Tudor Jones, listed gold as his favorite pick for the next 1 to 2 years, saying you could see $1,700 an ounce if we breached 1,400, and we did that in the past couple of weeks. From a technical position, I like the momentum, and I also like the price action this week. We look forward to higher rates in the coming months. Moving on to the Wall Street Report, visibility virtually unlimited from horizon to horizon over the New York Stock Exchange as investors added shares to portfolios on news from the EU of a new head of the ECB, Christine Lagarde. By Friday's closing bell on Wall Street, the Dow was up about 400 points, 2.5%, just below key resistance, around 27,000. Meanwhile, the S&P 500 was up 54, about 2%, ending just below key resistance, around 3,000, and the NASDAQ added 164, 8,170. The top headline moving the markets, clearly investors are excited about more rate cuts and more liquidity on the trading floors. We're seeing extremely high probabilities at the CME, Fed Funds Futures, of a rate cut at the July 31st FOMC meeting. Turning to Madman Jim Cramer, CNBC's Mad Money favorite picks with a slight critique from Gold Seek Radio. We have Honeywell. He likes ticker HON and Goldman Sachs Bank. That's ticker G. He also looked at several retail stocks and we picked our favorites, Walmart, Home Depot, and Target, ticker TGT, as well as Costco. He did like Facebook, we do as well, ticker FB, but it's had quite a run here, as well as Texas Instruments, ticker TXN, and Mellanox, ticker MLNX. U.S. shares, bottom line. Well, the USA Today Greed to Fear Index finally moved above the equilibrium level, around 63%. This suggests the herd is maybe a bit overzealous here. There's a little euphoria, you might say, after easing tensions in the trade skirmish, likely between the U.S. and China, as well as the impending rate cuts from the Fed. And, of course, lower rates likely from the EU and Australia, their central bank joining the lower rate mantra. But we still think it's quite possible to see higher highs, all-time highs, by the way, in all three key indexes in the coming months. Coming up after the break, more Gold Seek Radio.
It's
It's a pleasure to welcome back Dr. Paul. Nearly 40 years ago, he published The Case for Gold. It remains a very timely case study in defense of the restoration of the U.S. dollar to a sound money system. Welcome back, Dr. Paul.
Thank you. Good to be back with you.
Dr. Paul, it took less than 5 years after President Nixon closed the gold window before we started to see signs of galloping inflation. Fed officials, it really put them in a frenzy, I think you'd agree, to contain that price genie. Now we're on the cusp of 40 years since the 1980s inflation scare. How bad are things now since then?
Well, I think they're much, much worse. And, you know, the closing of the gold window was significant because it was the event that motivated me to get involved in public life and speaking out politically. But the prices going up in the mid-70s had a lot to do with the breakdown of Bretton Woods, but it also had a lot to do with the money printed before it broke down, because gold was kept at an artificial price at $35, and they kept printing, and everybody back then that knew anything about money knew it wouldn't hold. But it was sort of price fixing is what they were doing. So when the breakdown came, which was a predictable event, Henry Hazlitt was the one that predicted that when they set up the Bretton Woods Agreement. But then again, it meant there was license, to print even more money. And ironically, we weren't even allowed to own gold at that time. You know, the American people were denied that right. But the world knew about it. The rules were there. Gold exploded. Didn't stop moving in that decade until it hit $800 before it decided it overshot.
And Ron Paul Liberty Report last month, you noted the Fed can't save us, but gold can. And that was in response, I'm sure, to the new rate cut cycle that we'll probably see in earnest at this month's FOMC meeting, maybe as soon as the 31st of this month. Might this be the beginning of that 1970s-style stagflationary episode?
No, I think it's an accumulation of many things, and it's going to be a lot worse because confidence was, in a way, restored. You know, and gold settled down. It actually went down sharply back down, you know, below $300 before it took off again. So there is not a direct relationship between the expansion of the money and the gold price, the gold ratio, other than the fact that there will be one, and the more you print money, the higher the ratio will be, the higher the price of gold will be. But it doesn't happen on a day-to-day basis. So those individuals that agreed with us on that issue back in the 70s, that was when I started, you know, buying gold, even though we had to buy numismatic gold. But it was indication that they would continue this. But figuring out exactly the responses are not that easy. A lot of people say, well, you know, Ron, if they're increasing the supply of money by 50%, prices will go up 50% and everybody will be happy. But that's not the way it works. We can't predict exactly when they'll go up. We can't predict who will get hit the most, whether it will be consumer products, commodities, or stocks, or bonds, or whatever. And that's really the job for those who are investing in gold. They have to figure that all out. People who want to protect themselves in gold, that's a different story, because you don't have to try to outguess, each and every event. To your statement about how does this compare to what was happening in the 70s, I think this is much, much bigger. There's a lot more concern. There's a lot more debt out there. And when you think about it, in 1971, the inflation of the money supply that happened from 45 up to 71, it was huge, but it's nothing like what we just went through on the expansion with QE. You know, the balance sheet of the Federal Reserve, you know, went from less than $1 trillion, 0.8 trillion, up to 4.5, and it's still there, and it's still coming out, and they're able to, you know, sort of hold the economy together. Every time there's a hint, there's been the biggest rigging now comes, both governments always rig the price of gold to protect themselves. You have that going on, but you also have this artificial stimulation and excitement about the stock markets by rigging the interest rates and the price of money. And so they're in a game of playing, which they've done for a long time, and it's part of a history of money. But this one is much, much bigger. It's more global than ever, and there's more debt than ever. So I expect that when people acknowledge this, that it's going to be very, very bad. So what I look at right now that I think is the biggest warning sign is negative interest rates, because that will not be tolerated by the market, you know, because it makes no sense. And the whole thing is they can't fool the people all the time. So people will wake up. But what we're seeing in these last 2 years, everybody say, well, the stock market's up, stock market's up. But really the reassurance from the stock market is about where it was in January of last year. So nobody's made a killing in the stock market from January of 18 up until now. It's basically at the same place. But it's sort of rigged. It's you have to have a you have to have a cheerleader, and there's all kinds of psychological factors that work in. And one thing that gives us the extreme protection more than we deserve is that we have the reserve currency of the world. So people have to accept our dollars, but there's a big contest going on right now because people are getting annoyed with us for how we throw our weight around and put on sanctions and getting too much involved in regime change. So that event is going to be a big thing, because there's a lot of people in this world that would like to dethrone us from managing the reserve currency of the world, because that has given us tremendous advantages. People complain about our export, but we have the neatest deal in the world. We export paper money, and we buy goods and services, and the world will catch on to that, because it's not a fair deal. It's really a great deal for us now. I consider it artificial, and the people of the world will catch on.
The folks listening to us today, they want to improve their family's wealth, and they'd like to see their retirements perhaps comfortable and make sure their families have the best education and things of that nature. But I think the Ron Paul Liberty message extends beyond that. You know, some of these draconian practices don't distribute the wealth. Basic economics teaches us this is a regressive tax. When you increase the money supply, it puts an unfair burden on the working and the middle classes to the benefit of those at the top of the pyramid. Are we looking at another Great Recession circa 2008, or are we looking at something possibly even more nefarious?
If I were an investor, and maybe there was somebody out there that knew there would be a correction after gold went up over 1,400 and it corrected, and maybe they bought when it went under 1,400. But I don't do this. For me, it's protection, it's insurance. I like the issue because I relate it to the principles of liberty. The founders understood it, and that's why they said no paper money, only gold and silver as legal tender. And that to me is the issue, because when you have a powerful central bank, and the Federal Reserve is probably the most powerful ever in the history, it allows at least the whole host country to have unlimited spending and unlimited debt until the people to get tired of financing us. To me, the real threat is our freedoms when you have an organization like this, because they're more prone to go to war. If we as a country had to pay for all the wars that we get involved in, just think of what kind of a society we would have had. It'd be completely different if we paid for all the warmongering and the militarism and the military-industrial complex and all the problems that we have created and we're still involved. I mean, nobody would pay their taxes for that. What if every taxpayer had to pay a monthly fee to keep these wars gone? It wouldn't work. What if we couldn't finance the welfare state by deficits and the government buying up government debt? I mean, nobody would pay for this. So you have to keep the gimmick going, and you have to deceive the people, and you have to wheel and deal. And so far, we've been able to wheel and deal better than anybody else currently. But even the people who've sort of been excited about, they say, you know, this is the longest recovery we've ever had. Isn't this fancy? But if you look at it, the first 5 years, if you go from 2007 on up, those first 5 and 6 years were very, very bad. And matter of fact, there's still people who aren't recovering in spite of the reports that we get from our government. I look carefully at everything they tell me, whether it's what's going on around the world and even the economic statistics. Things are better. I think the tax cuts have helped. Less regulation is good. That sort of is, you know, feeding the fire. You know, they're keeping it alive for false pretenses because they're not dealing with the problem. Too much government, too much spending, too much printed money, and too much special interest. And I think the people are getting fooled. I think there are a lot of people who have not enjoyed the recovery. So in some ways, we in the libertarian conservative movement, you know, shouldn't, you know, make fun of those individuals from the other side of the spectrum saying, you know, there are some people who are really suffering, you know, and they haven't enjoyed it. And the one thing that Mises taught, the great Austrian economist, he says, if a country destroys its money, it will destroy its middle class. So when you look at the statistics and what's going on, I think there's pretty good evidence that the middle class is suffering, and there are some people that are earning more or accumulating more wealth unfairly.
You know, Dr. Paul, you spoke earlier in real terms. You know, the Dow is really close to its point around the year 2000, almost 20 years ago, the NASDAQ also in the vicinity. So it took almost two decades. But let's also backtrack to the price of gold, which I'm sure you'll recall was around $200 to $300. What's shielded people from inflation?
The best one throughout history has been gold, but what if you talk somebody into buying gold and you convince them of it and they bought gold at $1,800? You know, they don't understand these short periods and you know, the adjustment. But the points that you were making, I think, are very, very good about where real values are. But what about the wages? The nominal wage goes up. The real wage for the average person doesn't go up. And that's the other point about inflation, that it isn't equal to everybody. Everybody doesn't have increased prices and increased wages. And that's why there's a lot of resentment. That's why I think there's class warfare going on right now. Because, you know, if you're in a small income and it's retirement income, your cost of living might not be the same as somebody who has a real big income. Besides, the ones that have those huge incomes don't even care. This is measuring real wealth is an important thing to do, but this is deception. It's done on purpose. They have to lie to us about the gold. They have to rig the prices. Right now, you know, just looking at the market, it seems so interesting that finally gold breaks out, but silver is still very much in the doldrum. So I can't believe that's a very natural phenomenon, because I don't think they've demonetized silver, but anyway, somebody's able to probably rig the price of silver.
Bill Murphy and Chris Powell and many others there agree with you, and they say that it's J.P. Morgan because they have just enormous tons of silver in their physical bullion stockpiles, involved with the PTBs, the powers that be, trying to keep silver contained.
And that's how I got involved in politics, with no expectation ever that I'd be elected to Congress, let alone get a little bit of attention while I was in Congress in presidential races to call attention to the Federal Reserve. And the longer I've been involved, the more I'm convinced that that is a key. A love of liberty is most important, and understanding what individual rights mean. It is the issue of money that finances all the bad stuff. So that's why I concentrate on this. And I do a daily program that's live on the Internet, the Ron Paul Liberty Report. A lot of it's on foreign policy. But when I went to Washington, and when I got started, it was mainly on economic issues, inflation, and you mentioned earlier on the massive inflation, price inflation, and interest rates of the 1970s. That's what motivated me to talk about it. But as time went on, I could see that it all came together with a big issue of the monetary system, but the big issue is liberty. If you have an understanding of liberty being the absence of aggression, that you can't do any harm to anybody else, and a country should act the same way, all of a sudden you have a different foreign policy, you have a different social policy, you don't become over-judgmental, you know, on social issues. At the same time, you have an economy that's a free market, you have to have honesty in money. So it's the principle of liberty and how the metals have served the purpose of being used as the money of choice. And that's been biblical, because it's been known for 6,000 years that honest measures and honest money has always been in the metals. I still believe that to be true.
This trade skirmish between the U.S. and our key trading partners, particularly China, I mean, this has some investors on edge. Now, we've, on one side of the arena, we have economists who are nervous over the potential for trade reverberations, you know, to echo the 1930s Great Depression period. However, so far it seems to be a non-event. Little, if any, impact has been felt in the domestic or global economies. What are your thoughts?
Well, there's been a lot of noise. The tariffs have started, but they really haven't done all the damage yet. So I'm surprised, too, that it hasn't done more harm. But, you know, there's a lot of ramifications, and sometimes something will happen for 1 year and 8 weeks until the next year. But when I look at the trade issue, I see it from a freedom issue, that if you live in a free country, you ought to be able to keep what you earn, which means I don't believe in the income tax, and you ought to be able to spend it the way you want, which means that you should be able to buy wherever you want to buy. And unless we were in a declared war someplace, that you ought to be able to buy shoes from China or Mexico or wherever, and that we shouldn't be in this issue of protectionism. Don't like protectionism and tariffs, and I don't like sanctions. That's all, you know, requires, a force to impose these, and that is where our problems come from. Now, the Constitution gives us a right to have tariffs, but what they were thinking back then was a universal tariff, not protective tariffs, and not to wheel and deal in management or help special countries and all. I know the founders didn't think that we should have a WTO and a NAFTA and these government agencies of telling us what to do, and if somebody does something you don't like, you go to this organization and they say, well, okay, you can put on some tariffs. That's managed trade. I don't like the managed trade. I think you can solve that problem, you know, looking at the particulars about what liberty is all about, but I don't think we're doing any help for ourselves, because this whole idea that it's announced we just collected $30 billion last night on tariffs, well, the money comes out of the pockets of Americans. They have to pay them at the border, and it just pushes the prices up. So there's one indirect step there, but we end up paying for it. So China doesn't pay for the tariff, but I want essentially no tariffs and free trades and no bailouts. And it's a different world if you approach this where no individual can commit aggression, but governments can't commit aggression. This, to me, is the most important point people don't want to listen to or follow. You and I and all individuals know that we can't go into our neighbor's house and steal their car and steal their stuff. It's still, fortunately, seen as being illegal. But nobody questions the principle of sending the government to do it for us. Now we live in an age of spying on everybody, and we have a government that doesn't allow us to have any privacy, and the government's totally secret. So those kind of things can be solved by understanding that nobody can initiate force against another person. No lying, no cheating, no stealing, no killing, which are principles that have been around for a lot of years. Be good if we revisited them.
It's incredible advice, and I think it really does require a new mindset. People today believe that Big Brother is here to serve and protect them. That at least is the concept. But recall what Benjamin Franklin, paraphrase him, I mean, if we can keep these rights and liberties, if we can keep this form of government, we have to capture that right to personal freedom. Dr. Paul, it's always an honor to have you on GoldSeek.com radio.
Great to be with you.
Shopping for fine jewelry just got easier. GoldSeek.com has identified the most successful jewelry brand to launch in recent times. Many Jewelry is rewriting the way consumers buy fine jewelry. Integrity Craftsmanship, the only company to sell 24-karat gold and platinum jewelry, avoiding confusing alloys and gems, a true precious metals investment. Many Jewelry's disruptive business model embraces Franco-American craftsmanship and direct-to-consumer economics, rapidly disrupting the $20 billion monopoly just like Amazon and Uber. The sky is the limit with $1 billion of jewelry purchases daily for loved ones and those special occasions. Many Jewelry is an innovator positioned to capture market share with annual sales growth in the industry topping $30 billion by 2021. Many Jewelry coined the term investment jewelry, pricing by the gram, transparently disclosing its profit margins, a truer investment in pure gold or platinum. Similar to real estate, even artwork, Many Jewelry has a weighted value easily calculated, ensuring value wealth as a long-term investment. With sales in 60 countries around the globe, 20,000 and orders already, don't miss out on the explosive growth potential. Many Jewelry trades under the symbols MENE on the Toronto Exchange and in the US MENEF. Remember to sign up to Many's Shareholder Club to receive shareholder news, updates, and special discount codes for jewelry purchases. Remember, Many Jewelry.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.
The The blockchain revolution is transforming the global arena, disrupting every industry in its path. GoldSeek.com is excited to introduce an off-the-chain opportunity in digital gold and silver from our friends at Atmex and Sprott.com. One Gold holds physical gold and silver medals at the Royal Canadian Mint, the first online marketplace to offer secure and convenient buying, selling, and redemption of digital precious metals. One Gold uses Vault Chain, a secure, immutable blockchain ledger developed by Tradewind Markets, the leading innovator in digital precious metals, distributed ledger, and blockchain technology. Vault Chain. Gold and silver are 100% redeemable through One Gold for physical precious metals delivered to customers' doors in any size at competitive prices and low transaction storage costs. As a special offer and for a limited time only, One Gold is offering gold and silver at spot price with no additional premiums. OneGold.com is secure and accessible 24/7 on any device, offering convenient purchases and sales of precious metals. Easy recurring transactions make passive saving and gold dollar cost averaging as easy as a single mouse click. Vault Chain offers the best tier pricing on Atmex products, setting the industry standard as a fully backed physical asset with easy redemption in coins, rounds, or bars, offering clients peace of mind and full transparency. Don't get left behind. Remember to bookmark OneGold.com for the safest and most convenient digital precious metals today. Remember, OneGold.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.
It's just a pleasure to welcome Arch Crawford, a favorite of ours for almost 14 years here on GoldSeek.com radio. He has his latest updates on the markets. Welcome back, Arch Crawford.
Oh, delighted to be here. Thanks for calling.
It's great to have you as always. And I understand you've probably got your report ready on the markets. Anything interesting happening?
We actually said in an earlier newsletter that we thought we were getting near a top and that we would probably go short on the 15th of May. And it may bounce a little bit more than that because we've come down more early on. The Dow Jones Industrials and the Transportations both broke their 200-day moving averages. And I think the RTY did as well. That's the Russell 2000. With today's action, they held yesterday. They went well below and then bounced up a little bit at the close. But today they bounced back above the 200-day moving averages. And most of the major indices have not gotten down to their 200s, which I think is still will be some considerable support. So we'll be watching that carefully. We're still hanging on the negative side for now.
My guess is you probably also are paying attention to the constellations and things of that nature. Is there anything from an astronomical perspective or, you know, astrological perspective that you're keeping an eye on here?
Well, we did mention in the last letter that there were several areas of time where there were like two planet aspects within 2 days. And there's an even a little period coming up here a little later in the month where there are 12 in planet-to-planet aspects in 3 days. And we were considering there will probably be more negative of the aspects than the positive.
Have you ever considered or thought much at all about the prospect of Dyson spheres? I know that you are interested in deep space anomalies and things of that nature. And you may recall the Professor Dyson proposed that second and third level energy civilizations far beyond where we are might try to harness the energy of stars, neutron stars. And
since we are so way out at the corner of the galaxy, probably nearer the center of the galaxy was where civilization probably developed first, and they could be way ahead of us, as in the movie Contact.
Well, that's interesting you'd mention that, because we've found numerous signs and images of holographic projection devices that seem to be harnessing the power of very small neutron stars, somewhere in the nature of 1 to 2 miles in diameter. Found that all over the universe. I know that our authorities are aware of this, but no one wants to talk about it.
It's well known that our government went to extreme secrecy after the saucer crashed in, New Mexico.
The Roswell incident?
Yeah, that was, 47 or 48? And they formed very, very top secret organizations, which they didn't even tell us the names of until much, much later. But I met Al Billick, who he said was one of the two survivors of the Philadelphia experiment. And he said that at the highest levels of government physics and math, he had seen three different alien species working with our government. So
we've been decoding off-world signals now from radio telescopes for several months. I actually have decrypted only just one series of letters, S-O-S-O-S-O-S, and also the phrase, I come. It appears that there are a lot more than three species of intelligent hominids. It appears that the human is something of an oddity, even a rarity in the hominid species world. At the highest levels with the largest brains is invariably reptilian. They're reptiles. And not only that, one of the lower of the higher species we've run into, with, by the way, brains that wouldn't fit in a football player's helmet, bigger than a football player's helmet. There's actually even intelligent snakes who cannot take a hominid form. We find cephalopod-like creatures, bird-like creatures. They appear to operate holographic projectors, and they seem to be the overlords of this galaxy. I can't speak beyond this galaxy, but there appears to be a reptilian overlord. Switch over to the precious metals markets or any other sectors like West Texas Intermediate Crude that you're interested in.
Certainly, I have charts on both. Gold is in a significantly long, in terms of days and a couple of weeks, a flat line. And then they popped up out of that for the first time since around it entered this pattern around the 11th or 12th of April. And so it's looking a little better now than it has in a while. I'm very positive on gold long term, and I think everyone should have a little bit in a shoebox or something, but trading wise, it hadn't been very positive lately, and it's not going to be really positive until it breaks above about 1365 to 1375. And there's been a long term bottoming forming, and the neckline has been from 1375, drifting lower to about 1365 now. So I want to see it break above that. But if when it breaks above that, I'm afraid that it's going to go a long way in one day or overnight because of it. You've got six to almost 7 years of buying power being rallied, but not being productive yet. So I think long-term gold, terrific. Short-term, better than it has been. Intermediate term, still doubtful. It could still stay in this flat bottoming process another 2 days or another 2 years.
That's a theme we've heard from so many of our guests. Many of our folks believe that there's, nefarious forces at play containing the market, but that will eventually end in a sudden and violent spike on the upward trajectory. Now, turning to equities, we've had awful lot of naysayers for many, many, many years, and they've just been perennially wrong. Is there a chance that this consolidation that we're in, if and when we recover, might lead to surprisingly higher highs for another year or two?
I'm expecting a higher high in September, but I'm expecting much worse in January. So we'll see how October and November fare. But I did a study many years ago and found that every crash that has occurred in the stock market in my lifetime have been in the same 40% of the Mars-Uranus cycle, which is only a little variation from 2 years. And of course, we do not have a crash every 2 years, but every crash that's occurred has been in the same 40% of the 2 year time frame. And I wrote a paper on it in the late 90s, and there have been two more since then, and both of them have been, you know, 2001 and 2008, were both in the that period. And I wrote in my newsletter that during the last one, several years ago, we would be in that period until March of 2009. And you may remember the bottom was the weekend of the 9th, Friday, Monday, 9th to 12th. I think one was a low hour and the other was a low day. And we re-enter that 40% in the middle of November. And the chart, the sky for January, looked very severe.
Let's look at the bigger picture. I know that you have, for many decades, watched for, you know, signs that could lead to severe economic, even sociological upheaval. Do you see anything happening, anything along those lines?
Most astrologers are aware of the approaching combination of Saturn and Pluto, and they tend to be pretty dangerous on when they meet, and which is only about every 28 to 30 years. They will be coming up, and at the same time, Pluto in the sky is coming up to its position in the United States, July 4th, 1776 chart. So we're going to have Pluto return. That's ended a lot of civilizations, 240-some years.
So it's a 240-year cycle, you say?
Yeah, it varies. I think it's around 243. But, you know, a lot of our civilizations that we have watched come and go over the century have been in that date range of their how long they lasted. And I think even Rome was like three of them. They kept coming back after the week of the period. God bless them.
You're pointing to a cycle astrologers believe is tied to particularly the fall of major civilizations around the world, you know, the Latin culture that seemed to be able to resist that. We've had here a pretty good run from 1776, you might say, and that would be maybe approaching the 240-year zenith.
We were never expecting it to last this long.
I'm sure they would be surprised, especially now given, you know, what's occurring in our country.
But what's occurring is already been in the stars. As I said, I mentioned about the Saturn-Pluto conjunctions as being rather damaging to economics and about civilizations in general. When it gets up to where Pluto is, and the Pluto will be aspecting the natal Pluto of the United States. So this time it's going to be Jupiter, Saturn, and Pluto, and Jupiter may save us from any total annihilation or anything like that. But the big problem in the United States has been for several years that Mars is retrograde for the first time in the United States progress chart. And it went retrograde, I think, in about 07 or 8 or 9, and maybe earlier. It stays retrograde for about 70, 72 years, something like that. And somebody asked me at a conference, says, well, what would it be like when that's finished? And I said, we'll be a third world country.
What we found is that they're essentially hyper spheres, if you will, or what's known as a tesseract, or you might say a fourth dimensional sphere. And the implications for your work, it confirms the majority and bulk of astrology, that the planets and the stars are the governing and most significant force, much more so than any human being, and the governing force of all life. So what I suspect is you astrologers picked up on a pattern, on a series of the entire multiverse.
The best book on it that I've ever read was written down about 3,600 years ago, and is the I Ching, or I Ching, Chinese Book of Changes. And it has every possibility of how much light and how much darkness, and it's divided into like
64. Yeah, 8 by 8 squares. Yeah.
Yeah. And 8 is very, they are considered very lucky in China.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
We like the 7s better. I think they have a better reason for it. But even in our Bible, I think that the names that add up to an 8 or devolve into an 8 were considered the good people.
No, it's interesting because we're finding in these signals Hebrew, an ancient Hebrew Aramaic, a symbol. It blew us away. This was last night when we started to publish the results. The Hebrew Aramaic character, Aleph, the conversation that we found and decoded and now deciphered, it begins the conversation with the letter Aleph, and it just so happens the Bible begins with the first letter of the Hebrew language, which is Aleph. And it is the only character we've been able to identify, although there's a few others as well. It's written in a different way.
If you go to the poems of Solomon and look at the Proverbs, the Psalms, the first psalm is based around the shape and the meaning of Aleph. And the second psalm is built around the shape and the Hebrew shape of the letter Bayez. And they have their 22 letters, and the 23rd psalm is one very familiar to many people.
Yes, the Lord is my shepherd, the Psalm of David.
On the shape and the meaning of the word Yahweh.
Well, that's interesting you'd mention all this, because I was just writing about it and studying it last night while trying to put together this paper. Interestingly, we get our term alphabet, the first two characters of the Hebrew language, Aleph and Bayit, extraterrestrial radio telescope decoded source. And there are 22 characters, and you are correct. The Psalm of King David, Psalm 23, this one everyone knows as Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, widely considered one of the greatest of the Psalms. So you've covered the bases so far. Should investors be watching their portfolios carefully in 2019, or do you see clear sailing ahead?
I would say that you do have to keep a careful watch on it, but I am expecting a return to the highs around early September, give or take a few weeks. We enter the crash possible period in about the middle of November, and then it goes on for about 8 or 9 months. So that's where I'm looking for the next crash. Other astrologers will be watching the Saturn-Pluto. Oh, and I meant to mention the Saturn-Pluto conjunction in longitude is what they are looking at. But I also noticed that the Saturn-Pluto oppositions in declination or north-south orientation have already begun a couple of years ago and may be adding to the weirdness that's going on in the world.
Well, I have some information that you may find interesting. I'm sure you've heard many people speculate that Saturn and Pluto were just dwarf stars. Well, we've actually proven they are stars. They just are not emitting plasma at this moment in any large amounts. But they are most certainly stars. In fact, I would argue Jupiter is a much more powerful star than our star, even though it's much, much less massive. And Neptune, but I suspect they both are as well. Arch Crawford, we really appreciate your thoughts and look forward to hearing more in 2019.
The blockchain revolution is transforming the global arena, disrupting every industry in its path. GoldSeek.com is excited to introduce an off-the-chain opportunity in digital gold and silver from our friends at Atmex and Sprott.com. OneGold holds physical gold and silver metals at the Royal Canadian Mint, the first online marketplace to offer secure and convenient buying, selling, and redemption of digital precious metals. OneGold uses VaultChain, a secure, immutable blockchain ledger developed by Tradewind
Trend Markets, the leading innovator in digital precious metals, distributed ledger, and blockchain technology. Vault Chain. Gold and silver are 100% redeemable through One Gold for physical precious metals delivered to customers' doors in any size at competitive prices and low transaction storage costs. As a special offer and for a limited time only, One Gold is offering gold and silver at spot price with no additional premiums. OneGold.com is secure and accessible 24/7 on any device, offering convenient purchases and sales of precious metals. Easy recurring transactions make passive saving and gold dollar cost averaging as easy as a single mouse click. Vault Chain offers the best tier pricing on AppMex products, setting the industry standard as a fully backed physical asset with easy redemption in coins, rounds, or bars, offering clients peace of mind and full transparency. Don't get left behind. Remember to bookmark OneGold.com for the safest and most convenient digital precious metals today. Remember, OneGold.
Gold Seek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.
The blockchain revolution is transforming the global arena, disrupting every industry in its path. GoldSeek.com is excited to introduce an off-the-chain opportunity in digital gold and silver from our friends at AppMex and Sprott.com. One Gold holds physical gold and silver metals at the Royal Canadian Mint, the first online marketplace to offer secure and convenient buying, selling, and redemption of digital precious metals. One Gold uses Vault Chain, a secure, immutable blockchain ledger developed by TradeWind Markets, the leading innovator in digital precious metals, distributed ledger, and blockchain technology. Vault Chain. Gold and silver are 100% redeemable through One Gold for physical precious metals delivered to customers' doors in any size at competitive prices and low transaction storage costs. As a special offer and for a limited time only, One Gold is offering gold and silver at spot price with no additional premiums. OneGold.com is secure and accessible 24/7 on any device, offering convenient purchases and sales of precious metals. Easy recurring transactions make passive saving and gold dollar cost averaging as easy as a single mouse click. Vault Chain offers the best tier pricing on AppMex products, setting the industry standard as a fully backed physical asset with easy redemption in coins, rounds, or bars, offering clients peace of mind and full transparency. Don't get left behind. Remember to bookmark OneGold.com for the safest and most convenient digital precious metals today. Remember, One Gold.
Gold Seek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.
The blockchain revolution is transforming the global arena, disrupting every industry in its path. GoldSeek.com is excited to introduce an off-the-chain opportunity in digital gold and silver from our friends at AppMex and Sprott.com. One Gold holds physical gold and silver metals at the Royal Canadian Mint, the first online marketplace to offer secure and convenient buying, selling, and redemption of digital precious metals. One Gold uses Vault Chain, a secure, immutable blockchain ledger developed by TradeWind Markets, the leading innovator in digital precious metals, distributed ledger, and blockchain technology. Vault Chain. Gold and silver are 100% redeemable through One Gold for physical precious metals delivered to customers' doors in any size at competitive prices and low transaction storage costs. As a special offer and for a limited time only, One Gold is offering gold and silver at spot price with no additional premiums. OneGold.com is secure and accessible 24/7 on any device, offering convenient purchases and sales of precious metals. Easy recurring transactions make passive saving and gold dollar cost averaging as easy as a single mouse click. Vault Chain offers the best tier pricing on AppMex products, setting the industry standard as a fully backed physical asset with easy redemption in coins, rounds, or bars, offering clients peace of mind and full transparency. Don't get left behind. Remember to bookmark OneGold.com for the safest and most convenient digital precious metals today. Remember, One Gold.
Gold Seek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.
The blockchain revolution is transforming the global arena, disrupting every industry in its path. GoldSeek.com is excited to introduce an off-the-chain opportunity in digital gold and silver from our friends at AppMex and Sprott.com. One Gold holds physical gold and silver metals at the Royal Canadian Mint, the first online marketplace to offer secure and convenient buying, selling, and redemption of digital precious metals. One Gold uses Vault Chain, a secure, immutable blockchain ledger developed by TradeWind
Trend Markets, the leading innovator in digital precious metals, distributed ledger, and blockchain technology. Vault Chain. Gold and silver are 100% redeemable through One Gold for physical precious metals delivered to customers' doors in any size at competitive prices and low transaction storage costs. As a special offer and for a limited time only, One Gold is offering gold and silver at spot price with no additional premium. OneGold.com is secure and accessible 24/7 on any device, offering convenient purchases and sales of precious metals. Easy recurring transactions make passive saving and gold dollar cost averaging as easy as a single mouse click. Vault Chain offers the best tier pricing on AppMex products, setting the industry standard as a fully backed physical asset with easy redemption in coins, rounds, or bars, offering clients peace of mind and full transparency. Don't get left behind. Remember to bookmark OneGold.com for the safest and most convenient digital precious metals today. Remember, OneGold.
Gold Seek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.
This is Robert Ian with GoldSeek.com Radio. I trust all our listeners had an enjoyable, relaxing, and well-deserved time off on our country's 243rd birthday party, July 4th. We were able to see one of the local fireworks displays from the back of our residence. These shows never get old, especially when you take a moment or two at such an event and remind yourself of what it is we are actually celebrating. And hopefully you were able to see some or all of the Washington, D.C. celebration hosted by President Trump. Despite the fact most major, quote, news, and I use that word cautiously, most major news organizations refused to cover the July 4th celebration of the United States. Despicable? Yes. Reprehensible? Yes. An affront to those individuals and families who have made the greatest sacrifice for this country? Most certainly. Unexpected? No. Mainstream media's true colors can no longer be suppressed. Birthdays, weddings, funerals, graduations, and times of crisis are typically situations where people of character, who hold even dramatically opposing viewpoints, will rise above those differences and focus on the event at hand. But not mainstream media and the enforcers of their official narrative and philosophy. How sad and how desperate they have become to stoop so low. The dinosaurs of mainstream media are desperate to retain control of a power structure that, like sand, has been slipping through their fingers for a long time now. You can see it on their faces and in their actions. That aside, what kind of conversations have you been having this July 4th weekend? I was chatting with someone who was lamenting about not buying a house in 2016, when in many regions of the country, including where I live, homes were priced 25 to 35% less than what they are going for today. I took this as an opportunity to share my point of view that the frothy appreciation in the real estate market that has occurred the past 3 to 4 years is just that, froth, like the head on a stein of beer that was filled too fast. The first major economic sneeze or cough that rattles the market will blow across that frothy head and vaporize it, returning asset values back to 2015-16 levels in a heartbeat. For starters, not a message a lot of people want to hear, let alone discuss. I'm sensing quite strongly now the same kinds of denial and apprehension I was witnessing firsthand in the business climate leading up to the 2008 economic collapse, the magnitude of which I failed to appreciate until after the deed was done. The skill set to adopt right now, if you haven't done so already, is to not fret about not buying something 3 to 4 years ago by imagining the supposed gains you might be enjoying right now had you done so. That kind of thinking will separate you from your money and assets faster than anything I know. No, the skill set to adopt now and work on each day with the introduction and analysis of new information based on what you know right now is thinking ahead over the next 3 to 4 years or longer and deciding what actions, if you take them today, will you be able to look back upon 3 to 4 years from now and say to yourself, wow, I made the right decision back in 2019, otherwise I wouldn't be where I am right now. It's called anticipating the future and acting on it in advance. A skill set I have been discussing for years in my speaking engagements to corporations, associations, and professional organizations worldwide. Over 3,000 in all at this juncture. I don't often ask our listeners, but if you or someone you work with is involved in hiring outside keynote speakers for your company or organization, then please reach out to me on my companion website, robertian.com. robertian.com. You can also email me at office@robertian.com. And until next time, this is Robert Ian. Thanks, Chris.
Okay, Robert, thanks for another excellent installment. Well, that wraps up this week's GoldSeek.com radio episode. For two new big guests, be sure to check out next week's show. Until we talk to you again, have a great week.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.